Our gospel lesson is the story of Palm Sunday in John's gospel, and then a few passages following that story as well. So listen now for God's holy word in the gospel of John chapter 12. The next day, the great crowd that had come to the festival heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, as it is written, "Do not be afraid, daughter of Zion. Look, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written of him and had been done to him. So the crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to testify. It was also because they heard that he had performed this sign that the crowd went up to meet him. The Pharisees then said to one another, "You see, you can do nothing. Look, the world has gone after him." Now among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks, and they came to Philip and said to him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew, and then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their lives lose it, and those who hate their life for this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled, and what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it is for this reason that I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd standing there heard it and said that it was thunder. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake, not for mine. Now is the judgment of the world. Now the ruler of the world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to indicate the kind of death he would die. My friends, the grass may wither and the flowers may fade, but the word of our God remains and abides forever. Thanks be to God, and let all God's people say,
Amen. Amen.
The author of the Gospel of John uses Palm Sunday as a transitional passage in his gospel. John's gospel is divided into two major sections. And we have, since the new year, since January, we've been exploring and listening for God's word to us in the first major section of John's gospel. Scholars call this first section of John's gospel the Book of Signs. In this first section, Jesus is engaged in his ministry. Jesus is the word of God become flesh. His disciples are pointed in the direction of following him, and then, in part, to demonstrate his identity, who he is, his power, and his glory as the Word of God dwelling here on earth, Jesus performs his many signs. Traditionally, this is one of the ways we understand the importance and the meaning of Jesus' miracles. Jesus' signs, his miracles, point to who he is. Yes, the signs, the miracles, they helped the individuals who were involved. Jesus healed the sick. He gave sight to the blind. He raised up those who had been held down. He released individual people from spiritual and physical captivity. But Jesus' signs, his miracles, they had another kind of importance aside from the help that they were giving to those individuals who were healed. Jesus' signs were there to say something about who Jesus was. They spoke to his identity. In the Old Testament, God had revealed to the prophets that when the Savior came, when God's anointed servant came into this world, he would do the things that Jesus does. He would heal the sick. He would free the captives. He would bring sight to the blind. He would even give new life. And so in the first part of John's Gospel, in the Book of Signs, we see that Jesus is the one for whom God's people had been hoping. The signs tell us something about who Jesus is, but clearly, John believed that these signs also continued to have meaning for us, for believers in Jesus, after the time of the Gospels. Through his crafting of these stories, John shows us how Jesus continues to have the power to transform us and to give us the gift of new life. John wants us to know and to understand and to believe that not only did the historic Jesus do miracles, but the spiritual meaning of those miracles is still available to us today and every day. Jesus turned water into wine. Jesus restored the sight of the blind man. He raised up the man who was unable to walk at the pool of Siloam. Jesus fed the hungry crowds. Jesus calmed the storms at sea. Jesus raised up Lazarus from the grave. These signs tell us who Jesus is, God's anointed Savior. But these signs are more than just history. In John's understanding and his crafting of these stories, we see that these signs represent what Jesus can still do and is still doing in our spiritual lives. Jesus turns water into wine. He gives us the new wine of a new relationship with God. Jesus is here to make sure that God knows that we know that God loves us despite our faults and our failings. God isn't a God of wrath and anger who has given up on us. Instead, Jesus' presence in this world, his love for us, his acceptance of us, his work done on our behalf to gather us in and include us, Jesus' miracle of turning plain old water into fine wine, it speaks to how God is a God of love and forgiveness and new beginnings. God loves us and wants us to drink richly of God's love and God's joy. God wants to take the plain old water of our broken lives and through Jesus transform it into a better vintage. Jesus gives sight to the blind, and he gives us clearer spiritual vision. All of us, without God's help, are spiritually blind. We look at God and we think we see God, but we're mistaken. We look at God and we assume God is angry or disappointed with us, but with the spiritual sight that Jesus gives us, we see more clearly that God, in fact, loves us and forgives us and accepts us. We look at ourselves without Jesus' help, and we think of ourselves as not mattering all that much and not being capable of doing anything to change or transform this world. And then Jesus gives us better spiritual sight, and we realize how precious we are in God's sight. And Jesus helps us to see what we can do to contribute to God's work in this world. Jesus raises us up when we are feeling down and unable to participate. We are all held down by different things in our lives, feelings that nothing can change, that the powers of this world are just too powerful and too intractable. And so we lie on our mats for years or even decades. Our spiritual muscles atrophy. We lose hope. But the good news of the gospel is that Jesus can come into those experiences and he can raise us up, restore our hope for a better future. Jesus comes into our lives and he tells us to pick up our mats and to follow him. Jesus feeds the 5,000. He is the bread of heaven, giving us nourishment. Jesus calms the storm. He is our source of peace, of assurance, of confidence in our times of trouble. Jesus raises up Lazarus when everything about that situation said that new life was not possible. And so Jesus offers us every day, every moment of every day. Jesus offers us the power of new life. He offers us new birth. Jesus offers us a new way, a new identity, a new future, a new possibility. Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, and so surely Jesus can stir something new in our dying hearts. In the Book of Signs, in the first half of John's Gospel, Jesus' identity and his power to transform us are revealed. In the Book of Signs, Jesus meets his audience where they expected to find him. The Savior comes, and he comes, healing the sick, feeding the hungry, giving sight to the blind, even conquering death and bringing new life. In the Book of Signs, Jesus' glory and his identity as the hoped-for Savior are revealed. Jesus' glory is revealed, at least to a degree. In our scripture passage from John chapter 12, God speaks. We hear God's voice in this passage. God says in our passage, in response to Jesus' prayer, God speaks and says, "I have glorified my name, and I will glorify it again." In the Book of Signs, John is telling us that God has glorified God's name. In the Book of Signs, God's glory has been revealed in Jesus' work. But Jesus isn't done yet. Jesus isn't done yet revealing God's glory. The story has just begun. At Palm Sunday, a new and a surprising chapter in the story of God's revealing glory is just beginning. In the crafting of his gospel, John begins with the Book of Signs. And Palm Sunday is very much the hinge, the transition into the second half of John's gospel. It's okay.
Sorry.
It's okay. Palm Sunday is the interruption. It's, you know, you got the Book of Signs and then something different happens. Palm Sunday is a hinge. It's the transition into the second half of John's gospel. There is a crescendo in the Book of Signs that leads to Palm Sunday. The crescendo leads to the belief of the crowds. The belief of the crowds that are there at Jerusalem to welcome Jesus with their shouts of Hosanna, with their palm fronds, and with a prayer in that shout of Hosanna, a prayer that Jesus would save them. Scholars call the first half of John's gospel the Book of Signs, and the second half of John's gospel is referred to as the Book of Glory. The Book of Glory. In the second half of John's gospel, as Jesus enters Jerusalem, and as the narrative moves towards the Last Supper and Good Friday and Easter, John's focus, his emphasis, the guiding element guiding the narrative in the second half of the gospel is this idea that Jesus has come to reveal more fully and more completely God's glory. Now, this idea that God's glory is revealed in Jesus, this is not shocking or surprising, right? You come to church on Palm Sunday, you expect to hear God's glory is revealed in Jesus, right? That is boring, normal Christian stuff to hear, right? God's glory is revealed in Jesus. That's not at all surprising. What has, however, been a bit surprising for me as I've been studying and considering John's gospel these past few weeks and months, what has been shocking and surprising, what God has sort of drawn my attention to, is how John's understanding of Jesus' glory, his triumph, his place of victory, the place where Jesus' brilliance shines most clearly and fully. What has been surprising for me is to see and to realize that John's emphasis falls on Jesus' glory being revealed in his death. His death upon the cross. For me, when I think about Jesus' greatest glory, his greatest moment and time of victory, the place where his splendor and awe are revealed to us in the richest and fullest way, my mind doesn't go first to the cross. My mind goes to Easter and to Jesus' resurrection, his victory over the cross, over the tomb, and over the grave. And if the resurrection is not on the table as the place of Jesus' greatest glory, then the second place my mind goes is to Jesus' ascension into heaven. In the ascension, we understand that Jesus ascends to a glorious throne in heaven. In the ascension, Jesus ascends to the glories of heaven. He goes in victory and in triumph over everything. When I think about Jesus' glory, my mind goes not to Good Friday, but to Easter and beyond. But these past few weeks, God has been poking at me and at my heart in a new way. These past few weeks, through the study of the Gospel of John, God has been redirecting my attention, not to Easter, not to the Ascension, not to Pentecost or other holidays and celebrations. When it comes to my interest and my desire to understand and to see and to receive the glory that Jesus came to reveal to us, God has been whispering to me in that still, soft voice to look and to direct my gaze to the cross. The hour has come, Jesus says on Palm Sunday. The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. And to what is Jesus referring?
His death.
His death. My friends, as we enter Holy Week, as Jesus enters Jerusalem through the palms and the shouts of Hosanna, as the narrative in John's wonderfully crafted gospel moves from the book of signs to the book of glory, I hear and feel God directing us to look with new and eager attention to Christ's glory revealed to us on the cross, with open hearts, with a sincere longing. Let us travel with Jesus on this surprising leg of his journey. Let us, as the gospel is clearly motivating us to, let us believe in him. And believing in him, let us stick by his side, following him even to the foot of the cross. And there, let us open our eyes and our hearts to look and to see, in order that we might receive the glory that he came to reveal. The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. And so may God help us to see and to believe. Amen.
Amen.